All right. Well, good morning, everybody. So I am excited to be here, excited about today's topic. I wanted to start by kind of sharing something with you. I don't know if I told you all or not, but we were going on a cruise. We went on a cruise last week, my wife and I. And I love to cruise. I mean, I could cruise like all day, every day. I actually saw a cruise that was a Holy Land cruise, 14-day cruise to the Holy Land, which might sound exciting for some of you, but the catch is you spend 9 days at sea crossing the Atlantic. And some people are like, nope. So anyway, my wife and I went on a cruise. It was really my birthday cruise, but we waited and we went on a cruise. And I think I share with you all that she's very, very adventuresome. I am not. She is very, very adventuresome. She likes to do a lot of things that are active. So one of the things I knew that was on our list to do was to go jet skiing. Now, see, and I, Dee Dee's clapping, but Dee Dee loves to jet ski too. We gotta take you because then you guys can go jet skiing together and I can stay on the boat. So we went jet skiing and I was terrified. Terrified. I'm terrified of the ocean. How are people not scared? And please don't, I've said this to you before, please don't say anything about me being able to swim. Yes, I can swim. Does it matter? No. It is the ocean. So I want to show you all a picture of her on her jet skis. If we have that, sorry, can we put that up? That's my wife on her jet skis. All right. Now, she was getting it. I mean, she was like standing up, like riding waves and all this and that, and other people were doing the same thing, and I was just like looking around me swearing everything under me was a shark. It was just like, now, show the picture of me. That's what I look like on the jet skis. I was terrified. And the funny thing is, my jet ski started to act up. There was a little button that came on, a red button. So when that red button, now I'm really freaking out because I'm out there, right? And the red buttons came on. So I'm going back to shore, and the guy just, I can't remember where we were, and the guy just presses the button, and the light goes off, and he's like, no problem, man. The button, come on, just press the button, man. And I'm like, you don't want to check the engine? Check the motor or something? So anyway, while I'm coming to shore, I see a stingray in the water. And I was like, nope. And that's why you see that picture right there. Because I went 5 miles an hour. My wife got back to shore, and she said it was so bad that they thought my jet ski was broke. That's how slow I was going. But I tell you that story to tell you that we had a good time. Thank you for, I know there were some folks that were praying. That actually has nothing to do with today's sermon, but I'm kind of giving you an update. Because we really did enjoy ourselves. So thank you all for praying for us on our vacation, and I'm looking forward to my next cruise. So before we get into today's message, let's pray. Well, Lord, I thank you for our time together today, and I pray that you would just be with me as a speaker, Lord. Bless me as I share from your word today, and bless those who are in the house, Lord, those who are joining us online as we seek to hear what you have to say to us from God's word today, God. Bless the pastor and those who are away. This is vacation season. A lot of folks are away vacationing. We pray that you would bring them back home safely. And bless those in the audience that have needs and those online that have needs as well, Lord, and have been waiting on you, God. Fulfill their needs, Lord. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, you all know that I recently transitioned to a new job at Montgomery College. I think I shared that. And one of the things I was really excited about MC was their benefits package, right? And they have this thing that's really, really exciting, or what I thought was exciting, where they give you $3,500 per year for wealth and health, for health and wellness. But you can't take advantage of that until you're 6 months in. So I am 6 months in, like today or whatever the first was. That's when I get all of my benefits. So I call and I'm really excited because I'm thinking I got $3,500 a year for health and wellness. I'm thinking about me doing this, doing that, and all this other stuff. So I called the lady to try and set up how I can access the money. And I called her and I said, hey, this is Al from Tacoma Park campus. I just want to know how I can access my full health and wellness benefits. I think it's $3,500 a year. And she says, what? And I said, yeah. I just want to know, like, how can I access the money? I believe it's $3,500 a year. And she said, do you mean $35 a paycheck? I said, no. My coworker and I, we both got hired. We were just talking about this. He remembers it distinctly, $3,500 a year. I want to know how I can access the $3,500 a year. And she was like, and these are her direct words, no, baby. It's $35 a paycheck. $35 a paycheck? I know, and I'm trying to be appreciative. Well, I guess that'll pay for my gym membership, which I'm not using now anyway. But $3,500 a year. $35 a year, which is like $460, I think, or something, $420 for the benefits. So today, if we can put up our title of it, we're going to talk about God's benefit package. And I want to just to explain to you some of the top benefits now that people are looking at in 2023 that didn't used to be this way a long time ago, because after the pandemic, folks wanted some things that were different. These are some of the top benefits in 2023 that people want now for work. Most employees want flexible work arrangements. We're not trying to go in that office, man. Look, if I can do this at home on a computer, I'm going to do this at home on a computer. So a lot of people are looking for flexible work benefits. We have one day a week at MC where we work from home. At Hopkins, it was super flexible. All I had to do was make a call and be like, listen, I'm working from home today from so-and-so, and it was done. At MC, we get one day a week. But a lot of people are looking for, right, like that flexible work experience. A lot of people want good health and wellness benefits. A lot of people want career development opportunities. And a lot of people want paid time off. And this next one is really big. They also want paid time off for family needs. So if you have children and things like that, they want benefits that help to take care of those things. In Psalms 103, verse 2, that verse is not going to be on your screen. It says, bless the Lord and forget not your benefits. So I want to talk about God's benefits package today. Because here's the thing. If you are a Christian in this house, you have benefits. And we don't always think about it that way, but we do. We have a job. Our job is to be agents of the gospel. And as a result of that job, we have benefits. Now, there are tons and tons of different benefits that we can talk about today. We're really only going to talk about four of them, but we could talk about a whole bunch of them. But for most of us, we don't take advantage of the benefits. And the thing is, as a Christian, if you don't take advantage of the benefits, it makes your life harder. So you have all of these things that God gives you after he saves you that's not just heaven, but are these life benefits that are designed for us to enjoy life more. And we're going to take a look at some of those now. All right. Our first benefit is that you will never be alone. Like, this is huge. Life gets hard. And it's really difficult if you feel like when things are hard, you are living this life by yourself. And sometimes we feel that way. I know that I've had some situations in life where I felt like God left me by myself, where he was just silent. I would ask for help. Seems like I didn't get anything. Sometimes I would ask for help, and it seems like things would get worse. But God tells me that he is always with me. I am never alone. But the problem is I don't always feel that way. Sometimes I feel alone. And how do we get over that? Well, it's interesting, right? Because God does give us a prescription for it. And the first thing that I will tell you is that it doesn't matter how you feel. You cannot trust your feelings. And feelings are a wonderful thing, by the way. They are a gift from God. That's going to be a whole other sermon. I talked to Pastor Dwayne about this. But you cannot trust your feelings. God has told you, no matter where you are in life, no matter how hard your situation is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how much you think that he is not with you, he's always with you. Now, if we read Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, and it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Now, here's what's important about this verse. God is giving Joshua a command. He's telling him, do these things and I will be with you no matter where you go. The reason that I love this passage is Joshua is taking over for Moses. Moses is about to die, and Joshua is about to take people, God's people, into the promised land. They're going to get there through Joshua. But the thing about this story that's interesting as you read it is this is not going to be necessarily a cakewalk for them. If you look at the numbers that Israel has and the land that they are going to go take, they are woefully underpowered by human standards. They should not be able to take this land. They are going to go take this land, but they should not be able to. Joshua sees this and he feels scared. He feels like, I don't know if we can do this. I don't know if we can get this done. And you see that in the first part of Joshua as he's working through the fear. And God tells him, you are not alone. As a matter of fact, the verse that we read right here, four times God has to tell Joshua that. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. He tells them that over and over again. And the reason I love this is because I can identify with that, because I have these moments where I feel like God is with me. I feel like things are great. And then tomorrow, I'm saying to myself, man, thought you were going to be with me. Like I'm crying out to you. I'm asking for this. I'm asking for that. Nothing's happening. How is it getting worse? And you said you were going to be with me. And Joshua finds himself in this place, so the Lord has to keep reminding him. So I want to press that point to you that if things get difficult for you and you feel like God is not with you, he is with you. And even Joshua, he had to remind over and over and over again. And even Israel had to remind Joshua of what God said, the promise that was made to God. So, but here's what we learned. Why is it that we struggle so much with this point? We struggle with feeling like God is not with us during hard times. Well, the thing is, the reason that we struggle with it is because we like to solve our own problems. That's the problem. I've shared this with you before. One of the things that humans desire so much is for known outcomes. We want to know that everything is okay. We want to be able to control our destiny. That's what happens when we take life into our own hands. That's what happens when we forget what God says. That's what happens when we chase the bag. We want control. And as long as you want control, you cannot also have God instructing you and telling you what to do, or you can't have it successfully because you're going to do what you want to do. So what we find out from Joshua is the key to this is that Joshua needs to understand that we do not live in our own strength. You can't. As a Christian, you have to lean on what God is telling you to do. And that's why I said this is not about feelings, because if you go by your feelings, you will betray yourself. I'm sure that sometimes my wife loves me, other times when she probably wants to run me over with the car. It just depends on the day. So you cannot go by how you feel. And God gives Joshua this command. And he tells him, be courageous. Don't fear. So he has to do all of this in his own strength. One of the things we also read in Matthew 28:20, it says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, here's the interesting thing about that verse. When we look at that verse in relationship to the verse in Joshua, that verse is where Jesus is talking to the disciples. He is about to die. And that is the commandment that he gives them, which is essentially the commandment that he gives us. So one of the things we learn from that verse is that we have to be obedient to what he tells us to do if we want to experience this life being connected to him, understanding that we are not by ourselves. Because disconnection from God normally comes when you have not had a relationship with him. You cannot have a relationship with God thinking that it's only about you asking him stuff, thinking about that it's only about you addressing him when you need something. You have to get to know him. And as you know things about him, you will feel more connected to him. Might it be possible that sometimes we feel disconnected from God and he's standing right here, but we don't recognize him because we don't know him? So you have to make sure that you know him. And that's why in Matthew 28:20, it says, "In teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." His commands for us, excuse me while I take a sip of this water, are knowledge about who he is. And I've shared this with you before. What happens is, the more time you spend with God, the greater you get to know him. I know I should have worn a short sleeve shirt. So the greater you get to know him and the more you will feel connected, the less alone you will feel. Psalms 19 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Proverbs chapter 30 verse 5 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. One of the things that God wants us to realize, one of the benefits that he gives us, is for us to know that we are never alone, no matter what your circumstance is. And you have to lean on that by what you know, not by how you feel. And it's difficult to do because, by and large, we are driven by feelings. We make a lot of decisions by feelings. But God is saying, know this, that I am always with you. All right. Point number two, one of the other benefits that God gives us is that we have purpose. Like, your life has purpose. Originally, this is what it was supposed to be. All human beings were designed to live in relationship with God and each other in a perfect world. That was our purpose. That's why he made us. When the world fell into sin, our purpose got lost. And then we tried to do other things. I'm not sure if I shared with you, I had a student once that sat down and scared me half to death. I thought that they wanted to talk about classes and things like that. He sat down and he told me, "I don't know what my purpose is. Why am I here?" And at one point he made a statement that really, really scared me. He said something to the effect that was almost like, "I feel like this is not even worth living. For what? Why am I in school? Why am I chasing this degree? What is my purpose?" God gives us purpose. Now, for all of us, of course, our purpose is, right, the gospel, spreading the gospel. If you are a believer in here, your primary purpose is to share God's love with the world so that people might be saved. And everything you do really should move towards that end. Now, it doesn't necessarily matter, I've shared this with you before, if it's work in church, it could be your regular job, whatever your job is, but your purpose is to share the gospel. There's a verse in Acts 13 that I love, verse 13, verse 36, and it says, "When David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed." The reason that I love that verse is it says when David served his purpose. My question to you today is, are you fulfilling your purpose as a believer? Are you fulfilling what it is that God has given you to do? And we all have purposes in here. We all have the overarching purpose that I just shared with you. I shared this before in a sermon not too long ago. But we also have a thing that I believe that God has created us to do. And when you find that thing, you will thrive in your purpose. Now, the wonderful thing about this is that most of us, as I said before, are going through life seeking what our purpose might be, but God has given all of us a purpose. And when you find it, you will be more fulfilled. If you chase things outside of it, let's just get the big one out the way, the money. If you chase that and make that your end all and be all, if your purpose is to sit on the beach and sip fruity drinks forever, then what you're going to find is that you're going to get to the beach, start sipping the drinks, and it's not going to be enough. Because your purpose was not about just wealth. Your purpose is not about serving yourself. Your purpose is about serving others through the gospel. Find what God's purpose is for you and do that. And then you will be satisfied. It's interesting, too, that I was talking to a friend of mine about, you all know what happened with the sub that went down to the Titanic and how the sub imploded. And we were talking about wealth. We were talking about money. And I have no idea if this was a situation with the folks that went down, but you know that trip is, I think, a $250,000 trip per visit. And we were talking about money, and I was saying, man, the thing is, like, money's nice, and I'm not going to pretend like it's not. I've said this to you before. Is there somebody in here that wants to drop a couple million in my bank account? I will give you the account. I have no problem with that. But we talked about how money in and of itself is never enough, and that's why when you spend it, you will always want more. It is our nature. You will always want more. My brother and I were talking about this, and we were talking about finances as well, and he was saying, you know, if he had this and he had that he probably would be satisfied. And I said, Wayne, you probably won't, because normally here's the way it works. At first you wanted the $50,000 car, but then you got dropped 20 or 30 million, and you say to yourself, oh, 50,000, I got 20 million, maybe I'll get the $100,000 car. And at first you were satisfied with the $450,000 house, but then you get 20 million and you say, well, I probably can afford the $10 million house. And that is the nature of money. But it's not just money, it's chasing anything outside of what God has you to do. Because we have an appetite for consumption as humans, it'll never satisfy you. So we have to find out what God's purpose is for us, and we have to make sure that we are doing that. And one of the benefits that God gives us is he wants to reveal that purpose to you. So all of you have it, whether you're doing it right now or not, I have no idea, but we all have a purpose. We also all have gifts. I've shared this with you before. This is so exciting to me that every believer in here has a gift for the service of God. Everybody in the world does not have that gift. It is a unique benefit that believers have. What yours is, I don't know. In some cases, I'm still trying to figure out what some of mine are. But it's exciting as God reveals them to me, and as I use them for his kingdom, I know that he has a gift. But we also have gifts and talents. This is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about finding what it is that God has made you to be. One of the things I know about myself is by nature, I am a helper. It's probably why I have a degree in counseling. I'd like to help. But I also have some other gifts that God has given me as well. I also like art. So one of the reasons that I have the movie review channel, one of the reasons that I love film is I love art. And these are things that God has given me in my life to enjoy. So we all have a purpose here. If we look at at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That verse talks about the overarching gift that we all have, which is the Great Commission. That's a gift that every believer has. So if that part of your life is missing, then that means a major part of your job description you're not doing. Because we should be sharing the gospel with people verbally, but also with our lifestyles, excuse me. All right. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift God has, whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. In Exodus 35, verse 10 says, all who are skilled amongst you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. And again, that was when they were doing work on the temple. And we talked about that before. I mentioned that before. So God has a purpose for us. We need to find out what that purpose is and fulfill that purpose. So before we move on to point number three, how do we find that? Like, what does that look like outside of just the Great Commission, which is something that we're all called to do? Well, in most of us, it is an area of interest that we have. So if God has placed something in your heart to do, something for you to pursue, then start investigating that, because the chances are God has given you that desire so that he can help you fulfill your purpose while you're here on earth. Real funny point, I had a student yesterday that came in with their parent. I'm doing too much yelling, losing my voice. So it's a strange thing, because if you come in with your parent and you want counseling and you're 18, I have to ask the student, is it okay for your mom or your dad to be here? Can I talk about this with you in front of your mom or your dad? So the guy says yes, and this is a Caribbean family, and I've noticed this with a lot of Caribbean and African families. The guy says yes, and we start talking about the career, and the first thing the mom says is, what you gonna do with that? You can't eat with that. So the boy is trying to share with mom, listen, this is what I wanna do, and mom's like, no, you're gonna do this right here. So I intervene and I say, listen, mom, I definitely respect where you're coming from, but I gotta tell you, if I could give you one piece of advice, make sure that you do something that you enjoy doing. This is what mom said. Mom said, oh, no, Mr. Seward. He can enjoy doing what he wants to do later. That boy needs to get a job to take care of himself and me when I'm older. What about me? And I thought to myself, yeah, I hear you. But I said, listen, it's so important that you do what you feel you're made to do, what your purpose is. And then I went on to tell her a story about some doctors that I knew, and this is a true story, that were in medicine for a long time, and one of them now is driving a food truck because they always wanted to drive a food truck. They became a doctor because someone else wanted them to be a doctor. So I told this story to mom, and I'm thinking, yeah, this story has a lot of power. And mom hit the desk and said, that don't faze me. This boy is going to do exactly what I told him to do. But my point is, God has designed us for certain things. Find that purpose and pursue that purpose. And it's a blessing that God has designed us in such a way that we can wrap that purpose up all towards doing his work. And we get to enjoy that benefit while we're here on earth. Number three, he forgives and he heals. This is major. You know, I have not shied away from kind of sharing some of my stories with you about some of the things I struggle with, some of the things I have struggled with, some of the things I'm still struggling with. And it's funny because a friend of mine heard my sermons and he said, dude, he's not a believer, but I guess he heard this at maybe some leadership conference. He said, dude, you gotta stop talking about your shortcomings. When you're up there, people see you as a leader. You can't talk about your shortcomings because it makes you seem weak. I thought that was funny. I said, listen, dude, I got problems. And I'm under no illusion about that. I got issues. The people listening to me got issues. We all got issues. I'm not trying to pretend. For what? They know that I have issues. I'm just like them. So I don't have any issues sharing my problems with you. I say that leading to a story. You know, I've talked about before my connection or lack of connection with my father and the impact that that's had on me. And for a lot of you all who are in this audience right now, you all were surrogate fathers to me growing up. But the mark that it left on me was a mark of severe low self-esteem. because of abandonment issues. He left. And if he left, then I must have not been worth staying for. And I'm not sure if I shared this with you. It used to be so bad that I would think that things would never go right for me. Now, this is the level of how bad it's gotten. And this is totally ridiculous, by the way. But it used to be so bad that when I wanted a sports team to win, if they didn't win, it was my fault. Somehow, some way, because I wanted it, they were going to lose. How ridiculous is that? You don't even know who I am. But it was, I just felt that bad about life. I just felt that bad. Now, the interesting thing for a lot of you all to hear this story, most of you all have known me since I've been very, very young. And you may have never known that. But people have problems. People don't always share their problems. And I'm not saying that you should get on a stage and share all of your problems. This is me doing that. You do what's comfortable for you. My point is that God had to do some healing in me. And that's part of the benefits package. God heals. So, I love this because life can be really hard, and when we don't have a relationship with God, we go and try and find that healing in a lot of other places, right? We might find it in the bottle. We might find it on the website at that site that's XXX. You get the picture. You might find it in a lot of different places. Whatever it is, one of the sweetest benefits that we have as believers is that God does not want us to be bound by our past. He wants to heal us. He wants to forgive. So sometimes things happen and we feel bad and we feel sick because of something that we did. We made a choice in the past that we just can't get over. God forgives. And God wants you to know that you are forgiven. So if you've had a situation, and I have no idea what that situation might be, where you made a bad choice and you just can't seem to get past it, do not allow yourself to be bound by that. Because God has forgiven. And then allow him to heal you. Psalms 103 verses 2 through 3 says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all sins and heals all your diseases." What a beautiful verse. So I hope that after hearing this, you will untie yourself. If you're feeling stuck, if you can't move past hardships that have happened to you before, know that God forgives and God heals, and he wants us to move forward. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, I'm not sure if you have this verse or not, but I will read it. It says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I read that verse because that shows you the level of love that God has for you and I. And that love is a matter of fact. That love is beautiful because it's a love that you don't deserve. It's a love that I don't deserve, and it's a love that I didn't have to work for. God is stating the fact that he loves you. And for a lot of us, it's hard because by nature, I feel like humans are transactional. I'm going to love you, therefore I need you to do this for me. Or you love me because of what I did for you. We brought nothing to the table. God did not need us in any way. It wasn't a situation where God said, "I need you to do this for me, and as a result, I'm going to love you." He just loved us from the break. And that is really what we all are looking for. I said this in a message a long time ago. One of the deepest desires that human beings have, and they have this even in a marriage relationship, is to be loved completely unfiltered, warts and all. Just to show all of your nastiness and know that the person that is looking at you still loves you. A lot of people not in that place. A lot of people who've been married for a long time not in that place. Still hiding stuff because they believe that if she really knew or if he really knew all of what was wrong with me, there's no way that they could really love me. So we live life behind this veil. But God is saying, no, I love you no matter what. I know it all, by the way. You don't need to hide it. And what you need to do is accept that love and let me heal so that you are ready to receive the love that I have for you. So, this last point is my favorite. All right, point number four. The retirement plan cannot be beat. Man, I'm so excited to get to heaven. I cannot tell you. There are a lot of people, even in this congregation, that are no longer with us. And I miss those folks all the time. And I'm looking forward to seeing them again. This benefit right here is, bar none, the best benefit that anyone can ever have, and that is to spend eternity with him in heaven. This is an exclusive benefit. And you need to praise God for that, because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people who think when they die, that's where they're going, and they are not. Tremendous benefit. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate the fact that God saw fit to save me from a young boy, 5 years old, growing up in a church that taught me biblical truth, and that my eyes were not closed. Now, let me tell you a story. But you guys know, for undergrad, I went to Howard University. All kinds of conversations when I was at Howard about why Christianity is not true. And I've heard it all, from the white man's religion to not our own religion, not our original religion. Muslims wanted to tell me that Islam is our religion, is our original religion. Fun fact, the Christianity in the Coptic Church was around before Islam. We were first. Just so you know. But the reason I give you this story is some people thought I was a Christian because I was raised in a Christian church. No. It is the foundation. I am a Christian because I understand the truth of the gospel to be true. That's why I'm a Christian. It's not because I've been indoctrinated to it. It's not because my parents have been Christians. It's because I understand the truth of the gospel to be true. Not everybody believes that. Some folks out there, they're too smart for that. We have one person right now. I am going to mention his name because I feel bad for him, which is the gospel singer, The Fanatic. Some of you all know him, Brady the Rapper. Someone was like, who is that? He was a pretty popular Christian rapper who really loved Jesus. All their music was Christ-centered, and then he walks away from the faith. And now it appears his full-time job is to prove that we are all deceived. And none of the stuff that he learned about God is true. And that's what he does now. So sometimes I go on his Facebook page and I read what he's saying, trying to disprove this and disprove that. And I think it's hilarious. And the reason that I think it's hilarious is that if you think that you are smarter than God, you have a problem. You'll never be where he is because you are a finite being. You don't have the bandwidth. So when I see all of these guys make all these arguments about why it's not true, and I think to myself, you guys are crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. And just so you know, for me, when I make that statement, it's not about an emotional statement in and of itself. My undergraduate degree is in philosophy, so I know how to think. I understand what a good argument is. I understand the structure of a good argument. I understand when you put an argument in front of me, why, if you say this over here and then your conclusion is this over here, this doesn't work because you were messed up from the front. I understand all of that. Now, I'm sharing that with you because sometimes we as Christians get accused of being non-thinking people. But one of the things that I know is that just within my thinking, and I've actually had this conversation with Pastor McKinney Sr., it must be the case that God exists by virtue of the fact that all that's going on around us. But I didn't come to that conclusion by myself. God gave me that conclusion. But there are some people that might be in here, that might be at home, that are stuck because it doesn't make sense to you. Or you might be asking questions, how do you know it's true? God gives us that truth. God has saved us. And by the nature of salvation, it will not be many. So if you check that box, you better praise the Lord that you're not one of those people that are too smart to think that this is true. Because here's one thing for sure, no matter whether you believe it or not, the nature of truth is that it's true. It's not dependent on what you believe. It just is that. And every person on this planet that has ever been born and died, you will find out if it's true or not. The problem is you find it out on the back end where you don't have a chance to reverse your decision. You will just find out the outcomes of it. And the outcome of it is for those of us that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when you die, you will spend eternity separated from him in hell. Can't say it any plainer than that. That is the outcome of it. Now, you don't hear that a lot today from churches, but it's the truth. There's a penalty for rejection. Sorry, I'm totally off course. But we were talking about his retirement plan. So I'm really excited just to be there. Now, here's an interesting thing. I want to read this quote by French philosopher Blaise Pascal. I think I do have that. It says, there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. Everybody has this idea of this need for God, but those that reject God just go about it in a different way. But what they are trying to do is get back to him, but they are misguided about the path. So we work for a number of years, however many years, and then after that, essentially, we die. And then we have our retirement. There's a song that I love. It's not by a Christian group called 100 Years, by a group called Five for Fighting. Anybody ever heard of that song? Thought I'd be the only one. Yes. So if you ever get a chance to listen to it, listen to it. It's called 100 Years, and it's a really cool song because what it does is it traces the guy who's singing the song, his life through age 15 all the way to age 99. And after age 99, he dies. And the reason that I like that song is it got me to thinking about where I am now. And I'm 50 years old now, and I'll be 51 again in September. And the time flies. But as I get older, I look more and more forward to heaven. Now, I'm not about to run in front of a truck. All right? So I don't want you all to get any illusions about that. But the reason that I share that with you is because I remember when I was younger thinking stuff like, I don't want to go to heaven yet. I'm not ready. I got so much stuff I want to do down here. And as I got older, I realized, yeah, can't wait to get there. And I'm enjoying the life that God has given me, but I cannot wait to get to heaven, to see the folks, to spend eternity with God, just to be in the presence of just his bliss without all of the mess that we have going on here. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 says this: he will wipe every tear from your eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old, for the older things have passed away. That may have been a typo on my part. I apologize. So I'm looking forward to no more life drama, no more sickness, all of that gone, spending eternity with God. I want to wrap up sharing some things about what we can expect when we get there, but I want to share this before we do, and then we'll be done. It's so funny because have you ever tried to sit and think, I just want you to raise your hand if you're willing to. Have you ever thought about what heaven would be like? Anybody ever thought and said about that? Sat and thought about that? Yeah, you thought about that. Now, here's the thing. We're going to look at some things that we can expect when it comes to heaven. But what's most exciting is you really don't have the full capacity to understand how good it will be because of your limitations. Everything that you consider good is something that you have experienced. You've never experienced heaven. So whenever you draw on what you think heaven will be like, and you'll know this to be true when I make the statement, you always associate it with some kind of earthly fun that you have, that you've had, right? Will it be this? Will I be able to sit on the beach? Will I be able to do this? Will I be able to do that? There's a whole bunch of other stuff that you're going to be able to do. You have no idea because you've never known it. Woo, that's exciting. So when I think about the difficulty of how hard life can be sometimes, when I think about life's struggle, the retirement plan keeps me going. And that's what God has said. You have something coming that you cannot imagine. But he does give us some insights into what we can expect. We'll look at a few of these things, and then we'll wrap up. So one of the things that I've always wondered is, will I be known as Al? Will you be known as who you are? Yes, you will be known as who you are. I will be known as who I am. I hope I will be known as who I am, about 100 pounds lighter, but I will be known as who I am. And that's exciting because I remember when I was young, one of the things I was thinking about is, if I don't know anybody else, how can I enjoy myself and not know the people who knew me? But God does give us that insight. He says that, yes, you will know as you are known. That's exciting. So that's one of the things that we can expect. The loved ones that you know that do know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, you will see them and you will know them. And they will know you. That's an amazing, amazing thing. What will our bodies be like? Will we have new bodies? Or will we be disembodied, you know, floating around on clouds and things like that? Well, the Bible does suggest that we will have new bodies, but there is, I'm just trying to find the verse there. Yes, okay. There is a suggestion that while our bodies will be new bodies, they will almost be some type of physical body. Not unearthly. And here's where I get that, in case you're wondering why, you know, how I can make a statement like that. Well, actually, let me read Matthew verse 17, verse 3 and 4 to go back to the point about being known. Here's an example of that. Matthew 17, verse 3 and 4, I believe I have that verse for you, but I'll read it. It says, "Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.'" Again, they knew who these people were. They recognized him. We will be known as we are known. Matthew verse 28 verses, Matthew chapter 28, verses 9 through 10, it says, "Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, collapsed at his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" So the reason I say this is that you will have a physical body. And this passage suggests that you will have a physical body. It will not be the body that you have here, which is subject to a lot of things on this side of heaven. There will be no decay, but it does suggest that we will have a physical body. So those are just two things. We could get a lot into this. There's a lot to unpack with what we can expect. But those were the two things that I feel like a lot of people think about. Like, what will my own existence be like? And will I know the people around you, me? And the answer is yes and yes. So I want to close with a statement that I think is interesting. And this is by C.S. Lewis. And I do have that. That quote, please put it up. It says, "Jesus made us, invented us as a man invents an engine, A car is made to run on petrol. At that time, it would have been petrol. Today, we can say petrol and electricity. And it would not run properly on anything else. Now, God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. So I want to close with that quote by C.S. Lewis. For all of us who are in here, you were designed by God for relationship with God. Period. That's the way that you were made. Anything outside of that is outside of God's design when you are pursuing your life goals. You cannot have the life that God meant for you to have outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. So as I get ready to close, I want to share how you get a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, whether you're in here under the sound of my voice, whether you're online, I want you to listen carefully to this, because we're in a place today in this world where the whole idea of Christianity is becoming more and more pushed to the side. There are more and more people that would have you think you're nuts for believing in this stuff. More and more people that would have you think that you are missing out on all that life has to offer and binding yourself in belief of this stuff. And what I want to tell you is that don't listen to them, because the greatest thing you can do for yourself is accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. You'll get the benefits of what we just talked about with heaven, but you'll also get a lot of benefits that will help you live life here on earth. Here's how this works. There was a man named Jesus, quite simply came to this earth, lived a perfect life, and died for our sins. He knew that we were all sinners. And because of our sin, we could not spend eternity with God. That's the problem. The reason that you and I cannot be with God forever is because we are sinners. I've said this several times to you before. Don't act like you're not. You know you are. Let me define it for you. Essentially, sin is doing anything that violates God's law or anything that you know is wrong. Now, there's not one person in this room or one person online that can say they've never done anything wrong. And for those of you all who think that you have, the Bible says if you've even thought it, you're guilty of it. We're all guilty. So if you can come to accept that truth, which you can, or which you should, because it's true, then that means you are guilty of sin. And the penalty of that sin is separation from God. Jesus came to take care of that debt for you. He came to die on the cross for your sins, to forgive you for your sins, and then to walk with you through this life, and then to give you eternity with him after you pass. But you have to accept the gift that he is offering you. And it is a gift. The beautiful thing is, he doesn't want anything in return from you in terms of earning the gift. You can't, because we have nothing to offer him. He offers it all to us. So if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. For those that might be in the house, for those that might be online, I urge you, if you feel like God is calling you to do this, drop the problems that you might have, whether they be intellectual problems. This doesn't make any sense. Whether you're mad at him for something that happened in the past, God loves you. God wants a relationship with you. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your situation has been. And after this relationship, you will realize what it is like to truly live. So I want to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and pray this prayer with me. If you're online, same thing. If you can't bow your heads, please do so. Lord, I understand that I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you, God, to forgive me of my sins. I acknowledge that fact. I'm not going to try and hide it. I know the truthfulness in my heart that I have sinned. And I thank you, God, for coming and dying on the cross for my sins. And I pray now that you would give me eternal life. I pray this in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you for dying for me. Amen. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to know a whole bunch of, about God to pray that prayer and become saved. As a matter of fact, you could know nothing. And I assume that if some have prayed that prayer, maybe you don't. This is not about how much you know. This is the entry into the relationship. You will grow after that. But the first step is accepting the truth that Christ died for you and he loves you. So if you have made that prayer, what I want you to do, and I'm not going to ask anybody in here to stand up, if you've made that prayer, please come and talk to myself and we can share more with you. Please come and talk to David Nutt, who is over here, Pastor Dwayne. He's not here today, but when he gets back, you can talk to Sister Pratha. There's a lot of people in here that you can talk to about the decision that you made so that we can talk about next steps. There are also ways that you can connect with people on screen. You all who are in the house can see that as well, but those who are online, you can see it as well. Those are all ways to contact people so that we can tell you what comes next. It is the best decision that you can ever make. Final words, for those who are in the house and you're holding out and you're still saying, well, listen, I'm just not going to do that, that's between you and God. And my prayer is that God will move your heart towards accepting him while you still can. The Bible says, seek my face while I yet can be found, because there will be a time where you cannot. Make sure that you don't get stuck in a place where now you've realized the reality of rejecting him and your fate will be whatever it's going to be, because you cannot turn around. So I just want to close in prayer one more time, and then I'll ask David to come and finish us out. So thank you all so much for allowing me to be here today to bring the message. Again, Pastor Dwayne and Tracy are away on their anniversary. They are in Virginia now at a hotel. I spoke to him last night. But I always enjoy the opportunity to come before you, so I thank you for that. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your benefits, God, for all that you've given us as believers in Jesus Christ, all the benefits that we have here on this earth, Lord. And we only touched on just a few of them today, Lord, but there's so many with how you want to walk with us, how you want to do life with us, how you want us to grow, how you want us to fulfill our purpose. All those things are things that we have as benefits because we know you as personal Lord and Savior. So we thank you for that, God. We thank you for salvation. The fact that you offered it to us, it was not free, Lord, for you. It cost you the death of Jesus Christ, Lord. But for us, it was free, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the gift. I pray, Lord, for those that may accept it, have accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, that they would reach out to myself or others that I mentioned or others that they may know that are believers to learn about what's next, God, as we welcome them into this family and this wonderful journey of what it's like to be a believer. I pray right now, Lord, that you would bless all of the folks that are in the building here at ELC, the folks that are listening to us online, Lord, as we just seek to do life with you and serve you, God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.